Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
I continue the thought today on God's never-changing word in an ever-changing world. Psalm 119 and 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The approach I want to take today is, first of all, that the promises of God never die. 2 Corinthians 1 and 19 says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." See, the promises of God don't run out like fuel out of a gas tank. They don't cease to exist like candle wax that has burned down and the flame goes out. They don't match the vows of men that can be full of enthusiasm today and be missing in action tomorrow. God doesn't give a promise and then forget about it. God doesn't give a promise and constantly need to be reminded of it. You see, every promise made concerning Jesus Christ is going to come to pass. It's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when. And they're not necessarily bound to chronological order. But before time is swallowed up in eternity, God's going to fulfill every promise to the church and individuals in that church that he has promised. And guess what? We get to be a part of fulfilling those promises because we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, the veracity of what was begun by Apostle Peter and James and John and Apostle Paul in the New Testament church is continued along that apostolic timeline today. We still believe that God is pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. We still believe that sons and daughters are having visions and prophesying. We still believe that rivers of the Holy Ghost are flowing out of the bellies of hungry and thirsty souls that want something more than dead religion or sophisticated silent faith. They want a demonstrative expression, and the New Testament power is still alive and well today. You see, the Word of God tells us in Ephesians 4 and 13 that the ministry and the work of the ministry is for that till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Not in completion, not for just one era, but it must start from the beginning of the timeline unto the rapture of the church. That's the fullness of Christ. That is the completion of the body, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, wherein they lie in wait to deceive. And so as we continue to discern the will of God, we are not so easily swept away by the deceptions of men. We are not so easily persuaded by the cunning craftiness of deceivers. We are not carried about having no anchor in us or instability of thought by every wind of doctrine that comes along. But we're built upon that one foundation, that gospel that was once delivered unto the saints. And then, speaking the truth in love, verse 15 says, "May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." This is a growing church. It's a maturing revival. It began on the day of Pentecost, and it will come to full fruition when the trumpet of the Lord sounds. But that moment hasn't taken place yet. So we still reach. We still press toward the prize for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are not satisfied with religious relics. We are not satisfied with apologetic memories of what God used to do, because God is still powerful and working in his church today. The regenerative power of the Holy Ghost is still active in the church today. The gifts of the Spirit are still operative in the church of the living God today because we are still growing. We are still adding to the measure of the church, not adding to the foundation, but building up on that foundation until the last soul that will ever speak with tongues and is filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus and brought into the kingdom of God by the salvation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When that moment comes, we'll know it because we'll be riding with the Lord Jesus Christ in that second return when he comes to put his foot upon the Mount of Olives and set up that 1,000-year reign as the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of those promises is that God will be a father unto us and that he will protect us and guard us, as the Word of God tells us how not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and communion hath light with the darkness. 2 Corinthians 6:15 goes on to say, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In other words, this relationship with God is far superior than anything the heathen world or pagan society could ever offer. You're going to get from a living God what you could never get from a dead idol. And the Lord is going on to say, they'll be my people. And so he's saying in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This is not a drudgery. This is not some sterile restriction. This is not some dead commandment that has no living purpose. This is an everlasting covenant with a God who is a living, breathing being, who is the creator of all living things. And so he's saying that this separation is one really of coming out of dead things, coming out of corrupt lifestyles, coming out of corrosive ideologies, coming out of decaying philosophies, things that are only going to lead to destruction and death. But when you come to him, when you separate from the darkness and you live in the light, there's power in that light. There's purpose in that light. Now think about what he's saying there when he's talking about separation. Going back to verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? In other words, when you've got a covenant with the Lord, when you've got this relationship with the Almighty God, when you've been pulled out of the pit of perversion, led out of the wilderness of sin, brought out of the caves of loneliness and despair by a relationship with the Redeemer Jesus Christ, what covenant can you find in the world that can even match that? How can you even be in agreement with that which has no life in it, with that which has no eternality in it? At best is just a temporary thing, but even in its temporary state, it's not as good as what you're going to get with the covenant of the Lord, whether in this world or the world to come. Now, in my research, I found out that the world's largest and most powerful diesel engine in the world is the RT Flex 96C. Built in Finland, the RT Flex 96C's 14 cylinders can deliver 80,080 kilowatts of power, or enough to power an entire suburban town. It weighs 2,300 tons. It's 44 feet tall and 90 feet long, more than a four-story building. Its red line is at 102 RPMs, but the torque is enough to tear a tank to shreds. It is highly efficient with fuel, and in fact, it's in a cargo ship that treks frequently between China and the United States, carrying 11,000 20-foot shipping containers at a breakneck speed of 35 miles per hour. This engine is powerful, efficient, reliable, and it'll certainly get you where you need to go. Need I say more about the promises of God in his never-changing word? Because his promises are built into the engine of the word, that never-changing word that can certainly get you where you need to go. It will take you through storms on your way to miracles. It'll take you through deserts on your way to cities whose builder and maker is God. It'll take you through religious droughts and spiritual famines of human time periods and come out with a revved up power of demonstration for any generation. So when you can have an engine like the RT Flex, why would you settle for moped power? And when you can have the durable, powerful, never-changing word of God, Why would you settle for cheap agreements with a far inferior God power like New Age movements, false doctrines, idol worship, and atheism? You have, my friend, at your disposal a God who created the worlds, the universe. The worlds are upheld by His word of power. He can hold you up, my friend, in the storm. He can hold you up, my friend, in the hour of stress. He can hold you up, my friend, when things seem so strange around you and you can't pinpoint where all the trouble is coming from. But that God who's got the power to uphold the worlds by the word of His power has a never-changing word for you. And when you're in an agreement with Him, you've got promises, my friend, that are sure words of prophecy. Now, in an ever-changing world with a never-changing word, not only do you get promises that never die, but you get promises that never degrade. In fact, if you look at Hebrews chapter 11 in that great hall of heroic faith, the Bible said that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So they didn't get there in this lifetime, but that doesn't mean that the promises degraded or disappeared or diminished in their value. It just simply meant that those that didn't find it in this world would find it in the next world, in a far better country. Because when God makes a promise, it doesn't depreciate in its value. It doesn't discontinue somewhere along the timeline. It doesn't get discredited because it loses its influence. The psalmist says in Psalm 16 and 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." That means there is a treasure of heaven that can never be exhausted, never be expended, never run out of resources or sensational sights. It's a fullness of joy. This world has an absence of it or a vacancy of it over time. It may thrill for the moment. It may satisfy for a day. It may give you thrills and sensations for a season. But when it's all used up, when the flowers have faded and the grass has withered, and when all of that has been tarnished which shined and the polish is gone, the Word of God, the treasures of God, the pleasures of God will go on forever and forever. Psalm 36 and 8, "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." My friend, we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about the dominion where His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to every generation. It doesn't depreciate. It's never going to get degraded. If anything, it improves. It gets better. It grows. This investment is everlasting. People get stressed every day because their stocks fail on the market. People lose their minds because they lose millions in terrible investments or in business ventures that end up being bankrupt deserts and graveyard disappointments. You see, some people settle for promises made by men with good intentions and deceivers with bad inventions. They lose their wallets over somebody's false words. They lose their treasures over somebody's despicable treacheries. And some people spend their whole life in a world where things are overpromised and underdelivered. But you'll never find that to be God. His promises are yea and amen. His promises never die, and His promises are never degraded. You can trust in them. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 17 and 15, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." So I know that, as Jesus told us, He didn't give us empty promises. He didn't make religious vows that had no content or character to them. He didn't make bold predictions that had no substance for it to be founded on. He said that He would go to prepare a place for us, that where He was, we would be also, and that He would come again. And then in His Father's house were many mansions. Don't settle for shanty, cheap substitutes of dead religion, false hopes, and atheistic assurances when God is preparing a mansion that will have everlasting value in it. Now listen to this from Psalm 21 and 5 through 6. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. Exceeding glad. That means it's always superseding expectations, going beyond our understanding. If we were using a secular sports analogy, we would say it's always breaking the record. It's always setting a new standard. It's always going above human capabilities and limitations. Oh, my friend, we're talking excessive love. We're talking beyond the stratosphere of imagination. We're talking copious discoveries never known, incredible sights never seen, immeasurable heights never witnessed, walked, or weathered. You can't do better than God. You can only have a discounted version of heaven, temporarily arranged with fleeting sensation and dying hopes. When the wrinkles of humanity have invaded every inch of the face, when aches and pains frequent a once indomitable body, when 20/20 vision is blurred by aged irises, when enthusiasm of youth is spent and the melancholy memories of what used to be sets in, God's word will just seem to be getting started. Wouldn't you want to invest in something that eternal, something that everlasting, something that forever durable? And lastly, I believe that God's promises are never deceiving. Hebrews 11 and 17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. What a powerful passage of Scripture. Because Abraham had received incomparable promises from the Almighty God. And we know that when God called Abraham out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, that he was not simply toying with his emotions. He was calling a man by faith to travel through desert passages, build altar to altar and destinations as he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And then he promised him a posterity that would be greater than the sand on the seashore and the stars that couldn't even be numbered in the heavens. This would be his blessing, and in him would all the families of the earth be blessed. And so when God came to Abraham in Genesis 22 and challenged him to offer up his only son Isaac as a burnt offering, this son that he had fathered at 100 years old, I believe that somewhere in the depth of Abraham's soul, he knew that God would do the impossible, that even if he went through with it, killing his own son on an altar of sacrifice to the Lord, according to the Hebrew writer, he believed that God could raise him from the dead. I mean, he had already trusted God for the impossible, for his wife to give birth when she was well past age. Because, my friend, the promises of God are never deceiving. And so no matter how they might be determined on a human calculator or by a reasonable practical calendar of time or a journal of events or a diary of human reasoning, God has his own schedule. And if he's made a promise and it hasn't come to pass according to your prognostications or estimations of when it should have taken place, don't let that put a distrust or mistrust in your spirit. Continue to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord in your life and trust that if God truly gave a promise, if God was a part of a prophecy in your life, it's going to come to pass because his promises are not deceptive. And so when things are not going according to how we think they ought to be playing out, then we need to be perceptive. We need to know that we are trusting in a God of immutable counsel, a God of spotless integrity, a God of pure truth, a God that cannot lie. And so if that be true, we need to be perceptive. We need to understand that God works in his own ways and that his ways are higher than our ways and that his schedule is a better schedule than ours. And even though it may seem like we're never going to get it, then maybe that's what we need to get, is that God is the one in control. He's going to see it through. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so not only do we need to be perceptive, but we need to be receptive. We need to accept every chapter in the conflict. We need to understand that line upon line and precept upon precept, the Lord is fitly framing us into his perfect will. We are not a random selection. We are not some arbitrary choice. We are not some lottery ball spinning and flipping and bouncing around in some galaxy of possibilities. We are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. If we stay true and receptive to what God is doing, then we will always see the fruition of every seed that's been planted. It will grow out of the soils of struggle. It will come through seasons of adversity. It will make it and weather through storms of impatience and misunderstanding. What you have to realize in understanding that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever is that no matter what past comes against you, or what present circumstance surrounds you, or what future thing that you may fear, he's always going to be the love to see you through. He's always going to be the power to give you the strength to overcome it. He's always going to be the reliable word that you can trust no matter who else has broken promises or how many others have let you down or disappointed you or how often you may have disappointed yourself because you didn't live up to self-expectations. The other day I was driving in the car with my son and I looked at the fuel gauge and realized that we only had about 5 miles to empty and it just kept ticking down and 4 miles and three and then two and then one and we were still a few miles away from the gas station. And so I worried a bit that we might not make it. And of course, my son encouraged me, having driven my car before. He said, "Hey, Dad, I've driven it on 0 miles for several miles." And so with that little bit of encouragement, I realized that there was a little bit more in the tank than what the fuel gauge might have indicated. Well, I want to tell somebody that in a spiritual sense today, that there might be a little bit more left in your spiritual faith tank than you realize. And at times you may feel like you're running off of fumes, but just remember that when you get in the presence of the Lord, when you rebuild those altars, when you seek the face of God, when you are driven by hunger for his presence, that when you get in his presence, you're going to be refueled in areas of faith that maybe have weakened a little bit. You're going to be strengthened in areas of hope that maybe have become momentarily fragile. You're going to be encouraged that no matter how far you've come and how far you feel like you've got to go, there's going to always be just enough in the tank to get you by, even if you're not overflowing and even if there's not those baptism moments of enthusiasm and spiritual exuberance, even in those desert regions, even in those lonely moments, even in those dark hours, you're going to realize that Jesus Christ really is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That his never-changing word is going to get you through the ever-changing circumstances around you. So if the sun is shining or the moon is gleaming or it's a gray sky or it's a starless night, understand that God is always above you. He's always around you. He's always beneath you. It would make no difference how low you went or how high you climbed or how far you walked a desert passage. You would find out that he's always there. He is truly a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That when his word says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," that's exactly what he means. And you may be suffering from abandonment issues today. Abandonment from family or abandonment of finances or abandonment in certain areas of your own faith. But understand that the never-changing word of God is right there. It hasn't left its location. It's still the bedrock of the word of God and of all eternity itself that's going to be able to stabilize you. Go back to it as an anchor. Go back to it as an encouragement. And go back to it as you build another altar today to seek the Lord and realize that his never-changing word is going to get you through another day, going to get you through another hour of agony, going to get you through another moment when the trials that you're going through will soon be the treasures of your testimony. In Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.